Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Kalachandri Ki Jai. So we will start Srimad Bhagavatam class now, and we will sing the invocation prayers. Hari Bol Yovana. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Kalachandri Radha Kalachandri Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai Gauranitai Gauranitai. Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Sashri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Astotra Sashri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktiv Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamakun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Shri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Shri Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maya Ki Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki Sama Veda Bhaktivrinda Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravarni Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Dishitarini. So we'll start with the prayer to... We are about to read the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we will request Him to please enter into our hearts with our backs straight, our eyes closed, and focused on the sound vibration. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 12, Text 20. And thank you for all for being here with us today. It is March 18th, 2017. I am He Jivas Trivrid Abcha Yonir. I am He Jivas Trivrid Abja Yonir. Avyakta Eko Vayasa Sa Adya. Avyakta Eko Vayasa Sa Adya. Vishlishta Shaktir Bahudeva Bhati. Vishlishta Shaktir Bahudeva Bhati. Bijani Yonim Pratipadya Yadvat. Bijani yonim pratipadya yadvat. I am He Jivas Trivid Abja Yonir. Avyakta Eko Vayasa Sa Adya. Vishlishta Shaktir Bahudeva Bhati. Bijani Yonim Pratipadya Yadvat. Alright, now we will do the word for word transliteration. I am this. He, certainly. Jiva, the supreme living entity who gives life to others. Trivrit, containing the three modes of material nature. Abja, of the universal lotus flower. Yoni, the source. Avyakta, unmanifest materially. Eka, alone. Vayasa, in the course of time. Saha, he. Adya, eternal. Vishlishta, divided. Shakti, potencies. Bahudha, in many divisions. Eva, like. Bhati, he appears. Bijani, seeds. Yonim, in an agricultural field. Pratipadya, falling. Yatvat, just like. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. When many seeds are placed in an agricultural field, innumerable manifestations of trees, bushes, vegetables, and so on will arise from a single source, the soil. Similarly, the personality of Godhead, who gives life to all and is eternal, originally exists beyond the scope of the cosmic manifestation. In the course of time, however, the Lord, who is the resting place of the three modes of nature and the source of the universal lotus flower in which the cosmic manifestation takes place, divides his material potencies and thus appears to be manifest in innumerable forms, although he is one. So that is a very long translation, and those of us who don't have books or aren't able to read it, we're going to repeat it and try and understand what the text is saying. When many seeds are placed in an agricultural field, innumerable manifestations of trees, bushes, vegetables, and so on will arise from a single source, the soil. So you can picture the soil and how all the trees, bushes, vegetables, and so on are being grown from the soil. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives life to all and is eternal, originally exists beyond the scope of the cosmic manifestation. In the course of time, however, the Lord, who is the resting place of the three modes of nature and the source of the universal lotus flower, in which the cosmic manifestation takes place, divides his material potencies and thus appears to be manifest in innumerable forms, although he is one. So here you can picture the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is separate from the cosmic manifestation and yet dividing himself into seeds, just as the soil has seeds in it, and manifesting innumerable forms. Purport. Srila Viraraghavacharya comments that one may question as to whom the cosmic manifestation, consisting of demigods, men, animals, plants, planets, space, etc., actually belongs. Who does this all belong to? Can someone answer that? It's a basic question. Krishna. Lord Krishna now eradicates any doubt about the source of the cosmic manifestation. The word trivrit indicates that the three modes of material nature are not independent, but under superior control. Yovana, do you remember what the three modes of material nature are? Yes, goodness, passion, ignorance. The suffix vrit means the vartanam, or the existence, of the three modes of material nature within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Analyzing the term abjayoni, up indicates water, and ja indicates birth. Thus, abja means the complex material universe which sprouts from Garbhodakshay Vishnu, who lies in the Garbhodak ocean. Abjayoni is another word for lotus flower, the universal lotus flower. Yoni, or source, indicates the personality of Godhead, and thus abjayoni means that the Lord is the source of all cosmic manifestation. Indeed, all creation takes place within the Lord. Since the three modes of material nature are under the superior control of the Lord, material objects helplessly undergo creation and annihilation within the universal shell by the will of the Lord. The term avyakta indicates the Lord's subtle spiritual form, which exists alone before the material creation. The Lord's original form, being spiritual, does not undergo birth, transformation, or death. It is eternal. In the course of time, the Lord's material potencies are divided and manifest as bodies, bodily paraphernalia, sense objects, bodily expansions, false ego, and false proprietorship. Thus, the Lord expands his conscious living potency called Jiva Shakti, which is manifest in innumerable material forms, such as those of men, demigods, animals, and so on. From the example of the seeds sown in an agricultural field, we can understand that innumerable manifestations may arise from a single source. Similarly, although the Lord is one, he becomes manifest in innumerable forms through the expansion of his different potencies. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tairinam Paramananda Madhava Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Vira Bahu Prabhuiti Namane Shishi Vrindata Vivira Patapankajadayane Prabhupadanu Badaya Namah Shri Vira Bhave. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gaurava Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarne Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Today I first offer my humble obeisances to my dear mother, Vrindavani Sri Devi, who has arrived here in Dallas after 8 years from the land of Sri Vrindavan Dham. She is a resident there, and I ask for her blessings. So, it's very interesting here how the soil is being compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his manifestations, not just matter, but also spirit, all of the living entities, are being compared to different seeds in that soil. But first, I was thinking we would take a look at where this conversation is taking place. Who is speaking, and what is the environment of the conversation? Does anyone know who is speaking in this verse? Yes, Krishna and Uddhava. Very nice. So Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is sitting down with his very, very best friend, Uddhava. And Uddhava is such a dear friend to Krishna that he was sent by Krishna to give a personal letter to his most dearmost inhabitants of Vrindavan. And the topmost inhabitants are the gopis. And Krishna had chosen Uddhava to be that person, that most confidential associate, to send that personal letter to the gopis. So you can understand their relationship, what their relationship must be, that this conversation is taking place in the 11th canto. It's quite a few chapters where Uddhava is asking Krishna to please help him with his doubts. Please dispel my doubts and explain this to me and for the sake of humanity. Explain all of these questions that I'm answering. And this chapter talks beautifully about pure devotees in Vrindavan and how different devotees had attained Krishna. What it reminds me of a little bit, especially this verse, reminds me of another conversation that Krishna had with another very dear friend, and that was in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna sat with Arjuna and did the very same thing. And sometimes when you read these dialogues, you can look through the Sanskrit words and the different parts of the verses to see Krishna's intimacy come out with his dear devotee. And one such verse in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 9:4, is Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavasita. Krishna saying a very similar thing, that I am the resting place of the entire cosmic manifestation. All beings rest in me, but I am not in them. That I am the support and the origin of the cosmic manifestation. But then the next verse, what does he say? Na cha matsthani bhutani pashya me yogam aishvaram. But look at how amazing I am. Pashya means look. Me means me. Yogam aishvaram means my mystic opulence. So basically he's saying, he's sitting with his friend and he's saying to his friend, look Arjuna, how cool I am. He's showing off. Not all of the beings are rest in me, but at the same time, they don't rest in me. Just look at my mystic opulence. I am aloof. And so if we go into the mood of these conversations, then it is a little easier for us, those of us who are sitting here, those of us who are listening to a Bhagavatam class online, for us, our goal is also to make Krishna our dearmost friend, to somehow or another come to that platform or that stage where we can, just like Uddhava and Arjuna, become Krishna's dearmost friend. And in the course of our life, there will be so many doubts and so many questions. So each of these words, Srimad Bhagavatam is living, conscious, supreme entity. And each of these words can dispel the doubts and the questions that are in our heart. So that was the first thing I wanted to note. The second was that the purport names Srila Veera Raghava Acharya. So anyone who's listening can give me some information on who Srila Veera Raghava Acharya is. Through my studies, I've understood that he's a 14th century saint, but that was all I was able to come from it. Srila Prabhupada in 1971 gave initiation to my husband's father, and my husband's father's name was Veera Raghava Das. And so I was hoping that someone can give us some information on who Srila Veera Raghava Acharya is. Now we'll go into the subject matter. What is Krishna saying here to Uddhava? He's saying basically, I am in charge. I am the supreme controller. I am the one running the whole show. Everything in this entire universe, cosmic manifestation, is supported by me. I am the sustainer. I am the maintainer. That's what he's saying here. Just as the soil sustains hundreds and thousands of plants and trees and bushes and vegetables and even living entities, Krishna's saying, I am the boss. So would it not naturally occur that, and this is a question that many, many people ask, if God is the sustainer and the maintainer, why do bad things happen? As devotees, we understand there's the process of karma, and there's so many different reasons for how we can answer that question. As devotees, the question may be a little deeper. Through the challenges and the bad things that happen, through the tornadoes and hurricanes that hit us jivas, us plants and trees and creepers, how can we stay firmly fixed and rooted in understanding that Krishna is our supreme controller? How do we overcome those tornadoes and hurricanes and stay firmly, full faith and understanding that Krishna is the dirt and the earth and the soil that will nourish us and sustain us? And so some of you may not know, my name is Gopi Geeta, and I have a 15-year-old boy who was just recently hit with three brain tumors in his head a few weeks ago, and he had to undergo brain surgery, and we're waiting for the process of finding out whether it's benign or malignant. And so the question has arisen by many of my friends and my relatives who may not understand Krishna's plan, and even every now and then in my own heart, how can I pass through this challenge and this hurricane and tornado that is coming in the material world by staying firmly fixed and rooted in understanding that Krishna is in charge and he has a plan. So we're going to delve into that answer a little bit. But I'm not the only one that is suffering in this material world. Each and every one of us has these challenges and these obstacles that you're faced with. If you haven't had it so far, it will come later in life, whether it be disease, or whether it be symptoms of old age, getting older, whether it be relationship issues, where the person who's most dearest to you decides to leave you, or you decide to leave them, or communication, or parent-children problems, or you lose your job, or there's stress at work. Whatever type of difficulty, whatever type of obstacle may be there, it is absolutely bound to come. If you look at the leaves and the plants, going back to this example, leaves and the plants that are rooted in the soil, there will be winds every single day, every single week. There will be all kinds of impediments for those plants to grow. And for the plant to think that, oh, why is this happening? How does that help? That doesn't help the plant to grow. The plant has to grow to a certain height, to a certain level of flourishing, so that it can give back, it can give fruits and flowers. And it must also decide, how will I sustain myself? How will I trust that the soil beneath me is actually what is sustaining me? So we can look at the first verse of the Srimad Brahma Samhita. First, we want to identify our relationship with this soil, with this supreme source, Krishna, who is sustaining and maintaining everybody. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karna Karna. Again, Krishna is saying, Krishna is the supreme controller. He is the cause of all causes. He has no origin. He is the origin. But what else? Sat Chit Ananda. He is the cause of all eternal happiness. So we have faith in that, in those words. Krishna is my controller. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship my dear Govinda, my dear most friend, Adi Purusha, who is the first person. And Purusha doesn't just mean person. It also means doer, controller. It denotes a feeling of strength. Krishna is the strongest. He is the caretaker. Govinda Adi Purusha Tamaham Bhajami. But sometimes as plants, we're in the soil and we're swayed by the different winds that come and the tornadoes and the hurricanes that come. And we wonder and we question, how is it that this is happening? How are these tornadoes and hurricanes hit? Maybe I should nourish myself in another way. Maybe I shouldn't be getting nourishment from the soil. And if we think of the analogy of the Bhakti Lata creeper, the nourishment comes from hearing and chanting. And that nourishment enters into the soil and gives the Bhakti creeper strength. But we may think, no, I don't want to get nourishment in my devotional service anymore. It's not getting me anywhere. As a matter of fact, sometimes it may seem as devotees that the more you try and get nourishment from the soil or from hearing and chanting, the more hurricanes and more tornadoes will hit you. And so you decide, no, I'm going to try another way. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example. If you try to feed a plant through leaves, or threw flowers, cut a hole in the stalk. We have entered our spring unit at the Gurukul, and Yovana is here. She is one of my students, and she can say how we practice learning how to put a plant inside water and a pot, and the food coloring goes up the plant. We did that project last year. They learned that the nourishment comes from the roots, from the soil. If you cut a little hole in a stalk and tried to put the food coloring in that, or if you tried to give water and oxygen directly to the leaf, you won't get nourishment, you won't get anywhere. And there's a beautiful Bhagavatam verse that also explains that. Yatha taror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bhujo pashaka pranopahara chayatendrihanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyuteja. That just as the plant gets its nourishment from the soil and the roots, and you shouldn't be trying to feed the leaves and the flowers separately, and just as the body gets nourishment from the stomach, similarly, if we stay focused on nourishing our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we will stay firmly fixed with our roots. And so there's a beautiful story that a Christian priest had told his congregation. There were two plants, two seeds. One was a fern seed and one was a bamboo seed. And both went to God and said, "Dear God, we would like to have you be our gardener. We want you to plant us and you to make us thrive and you to be the one who is maintaining and nourishing and sustaining us. Make us reach our topmost potential. Use us as you would like us to be used." So God said, "Sure, we'll do." And planted the fern in one area and planted the bamboo in another area. And every single day watered the two seeds. And as the seeds were growing, within 1 year you could see that the fern had sapling grow first, and then the bush, or I don't know exactly how ferns grow, maybe there's a gardener here who knows how ferns grow. It started spreading, but nothing happened to the bamboo plant. Nothing came out of the soil. Then the next year passed by, and now fern, which grows very fast, started creeping out through the forest and covering the forest bed with its beautiful leaves. Fern has very beautiful leaves. We use it in decorating the temple sometimes. But in the second year, nothing happened with the bamboo plant. And the bamboo plant started getting discouraged. "Take a look at this fern. She's taking over the whole forest. What about me? Is God not giving me proper attention? Is he not looking my way? Is he not watering me with the right material?" And then the third year passed by, and now the fern is growing baby ferns. The seeds have come, and there's a whole big family of ferns taking over, beautifully covering, and the bamboo is still not growing. And the fourth year, and the bamboo had to stay fixed and trust. And after the fourth year ended, a small little green plant came out. And then after that, 6 months passed, and within 6 months, that bamboo plant grew over 6 feet tall within 6 months. Once bamboo shoots up, it shoots up very quickly, very sturdy and very tall. And God told that bamboo, "You stuck with it. You stayed fixed in your life's goal, which was to be under my care as your gardener. And did you know all of these 5 years, you were growing roots? This entire term of 5 years, you were growing long, strong roots. And those roots made it so that you could grow so tall and be so fixed that any hurricane and any challenge that hit your way would never topple you over." And so that's what we are. We may look around us and we may see, as a matter of fact, this question was asked by Yudhishthir to Krishna. Why is it that the worshippers of Shiva seem to be so happy and prosperous? Why do your worshippers who worship Sri Krishna go through so many hurricanes and so many challenges? Yudhishthir Maharaj asked Krishna directly. Because the worshippers of Krishna have their goal, their ultimate destination. And they know that they have to water with hearing and chanting again and again and grow those roots. The fruits and flowers and the plant that comes afterwards will only be as strong as the roots that are being grown. And we may look all around us and see so much success and so much fame. And in the material world, there's large, large institutions I'm lucky to serve at Srila Prabhupada's first Gurukul. And sometimes I go into big public schools and I think, wow, they have so many resources and so much money. And we're just, you know, small and struggling day to day. And we're growing our roots, all of us in our service, we are growing our roots. We have to stick with it no matter what challenges come our way. So how do we stick with it and how do we grow those roots? Of course, through the process of hearing and chanting. But the number one thing in trying to succeed and trying to attain a destination is to make your priorities stronger than your challenges. And so I was fortunate to get this instruction from my Gurukul teacher when I was a young girl, that no matter what, you stick with your priorities. What are your lifetime goals? Write them down today if possible. Go home and write down your three lifetime goals. What would I like to have achieved at the end of my life? When death hits, what would I like to have achieved? What would I like to offer to humanity and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead when I'm taking my last breath? And where would I like to go after this body leaves? Three questions. Answer those questions and write them down. And when you write them down, use verbs. See Krishna. Assist Srila Prabhupada. It may be different for each person. Make it as specific as possible. So managers in different companies, they say write four sets of goals. Write your short-term goals, your medium-term goals, and your long-term goals. And before you do those three, have your lifetime goals set. Then you will see that your short-term, your medium-term, and your long-term goals are all in accordance with your lifetime goals, and everything will be moving in the same direction. And so, vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. We are supposed to be so firmly fixed and focused on achieving those lifetime goals. And I'm sure for all of us sitting in this room, our lifetime goal would have something to do with Krishna consciousness. So I open the question up to you. If you had a lifetime goal, could you share one lifetime goal that you would write down? All right, to be fully realized and Krishna conscious, very good. Is there another lifetime goal that we could have? Yes? Go back to Godhead. Go back to Godhead, yes. Go back to Godhead, yes, Sam?
Yes, think of form. Devotee can think of Krishna's incarnation no matter what. They can still go to the spiritual universe, right?
Okay, so his goal is to think of a form of Krishna at the end of the life and go to the spiritual universe. Anyone else? Have any lifetime goals? Yes, Prabhu?
Always remain in the association of the devotees of the Lord.
Okay, so at the end of your life, you would like to... What was that? Repeat it. Always remain in the association of the devotees. So at the end of your life, you want to make sure your next life, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prayed, that it be in the association of devotees. All right, so those are some. Yovana, do you have a lifetime goal you'd like to share? What would you like at the end of your life? Who do you want to see at the end of your life? She's very shy. I think she wants to see Krishna. Do you want to see Krishna or do you rather see Srimati Radharani at the end of her life? She's very shy. And Mr. Bhagavan Prabhu, you had one you'd like to share?
I'd like to distribute as many Srila Prabhupada's books as possible. Get as many people as possible to be introduced to Srila Prabhupada.
Wonderful. You see, that's a verb he's used. Distribute as many books as possible. That is his lifetime goal. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. So we are surrounded by so many devotees who have so many beautiful, amazing lifetime goals. Write these goals down. Do it now. Because if you write these three goals down, what happens is that now the Supreme Personality of Godhead connects all of your activities and all of your challenges and obstacles that you will be hit with. They will be connected through, they will be connected in such a way to help you reach that lifetime goal. And so that's where we become one-pointed here. It talks about the one Supreme Personality of Godhead that is sustaining the entire cosmic manifestation. We will become focused and one-pointed. Ekeha Kuru Nandana. And when you're focused, now you find out what is the best way of achieving those lifetime goals. And of course, we know through the process of the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and hearing and chanting. And for us, it may be different than another Vaishnava. For Mishra Bhagavan Prabhu, it's distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. By doing that activity, he will achieve his lifetime goals. For someone else, it may be another type of devotional service. Stay firmly fixed in that devotional service to achieve your lifetime goals. Now, in the process of doing that devotional service, you will be hit with many, many challenges. It's just the nature of the world. And some say that Krishna is testing our determination. Do we really want to stick with that service? Or are we going to use those challenges to make excuses and find another goal? And then we decide, okay, that's not working. You know, people in the marketplace, in the workplace, sometimes this happens a lot. They're not happy in their jobs, they quit. They go to another job. They quit that. They go to another job. There's the story of the boy who was digging a hole in the ground to reach the well. And he dug for 3 hours in the hot sun, and he was feeling frustrated, and he decided, I'm not getting any water here. I'm in the wrong spot. He moves over to another spot, and he starts digging there. Another 3-4 hours, and some passerby comes and says, what? Why are you digging there? You're not going to find water there. And he goes to another spot. And by the evening, he's got a whole field, agricultural field, with 10 holes in it, each 3-4 feet. If he would have stuck in the same spot and dug all day, he would have not only hit water, but he would be swimming in it. And so we have to stay focused and stay fixed in that service no matter what challenges come our way. And how do we do that? We write down our lifetime goals and we continue in that situation. Sthane sthita shruti gatam tanu van manopir ye prayasho jito jito pyasi tais trilokya. If we stay fixed in our service, if we stay fixed in watering our plant, we will become so strong. We will grow our roots and then we will become so tall and so strong that we will produce flowers and fruits, and we will then be able to offer those and give back to the Lord and to the rest of humanity. And what does that verse say? You stay fixed in your spot. Jito, jito. Jita means to conquer. And ajita means the unconquerable. So Krishna is saying, wow, look how amazing I am, how cool I am. All the entire cosmic manifestation comes out of me. He is unconquerable. Adi Purusha, he is the most powerful. And you can conquer him. Tatenu kampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam rid vag vapur pir vidadhan namaste. He will become tied up by your trust and by your love, as he allowed Yashodamaya to tie him. Because he will see, no matter what challenges, no matter what hurricanes this young plant is being hit with, they are still mine. They are still here. They are still staying fixed. They trust that there is a plan. And you can conquer the unconquerable. If you look at Srila Prabhupada's life, he had his lifetime goal. His spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, told him, if you ever get money, print books. You are a young man. Why don't you go across the seas and preach in the Western language? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission must be spread. And he took that. And he started in 1922, I believe, was his meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And how many years did he stay firmly fixed? He came to America in 1965. 65 minus 22? 43 years. He stayed firmly fixed. I mean, how many of us can say we can stay firmly fixed for 43 years? That's longer than I've been alive in this body. He stayed firmly fixed, and so many challenges. His family left him. So many challenges hit, and I was speaking to my sister who was visiting recently to help us with this hospital time that we're undergoing, and she said, you know, think about it, because we were thinking, is it a sign? Does Krishna not want you to do certain things? Why is this happening? Maybe you're taking the wrong direction with your life. You know, you start questioning when those tornadoes and hurricanes hit, you start questioning what you're doing and why you're doing it. And Srila Prabhupada got on the boat. Everybody was saying, you're crazy, you're an old man, you're going to go across the seas. And he got on that ship, and halfway through, he's hit with two heart attacks. Anyone who had a little bit of sense, or even superstition, would say, oh, no, 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 this is a sign. Time to go home. Two heart attacks. This is Krishna saying I shouldn't go forward because of these two heart attacks that were hit. You know, when you're hit with impediments, you think it's a sign, this is God's way of telling you, turn around and do something else. Did he turn around and go back? He didn't. He kept going forward. He said, my dear Lord, I can't take another heart attack. If you want me to keep going forward, I'm ready to push your mission. You have to take charge. And then, of course, we know the story. Krishna came in his dream and told him that he's taking charge of the ship. But his priorities, his lifetime goal was stronger than any challenge that could hit. His plant was so strong with such deep roots. He had spent so much time watering and growing those roots that the tornadoes and hurricanes that came his way did nothing. And so we can follow in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. We can grab onto his robe and be dragged behind him and ask him to give us strength to do the same, to follow in his footsteps. And what will we do? We will conquer the unconquerable, and we will one day hit our lifetime goal. That beautiful moment will come when this body has to end. It will not be scary, because we will know that Krishna is bringing that moment to us. It will not be scary, and we will pray to Krishna to achieve the goals after this life is over. And we will enter, here this verse talks about the lotus flower that is the source of the material creation. There is another lotus flower that is even more beautiful, and it is the source of the spiritual creation, Sri Goloka Vrindavan Dham. And it is self-effulgent, and inside of that is so much bliss, so much happiness, knowledge, and it's eternal, never goes away. The material lotus flower comes and goes according to Karana Dakshaya Vishnu's breaths. But the Goloka Vrindavan lotus flower, it never goes away, and it is eternal, and it is our real home, and it is where we belong. And in there, Sri Krishna transcendentally resides, and he's still the boss. Krishna is there, and he's still the boss. All of the devotees are just immersed in love for him, and it's not that they find that they don't have any challenges either in the spiritual kingdom. They also have challenges, but every challenge is pure bliss. And there, here, it's saying that Krishna is a single source who manifests himself in innumerable forms. There is a beautiful pastime of Krishna being the single source where he's manifested himself in many forms, and that is the Brahma Vimohan Leela. And in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, can I have a show of hands of who knows this story of Krishna and Lord Brahma? Only one person knows this story, Brahma Vimohan Leela? Alright, a few? Okay. So that's where Lord Brahma stole all the cows, all the calves, and all the cowherd boys. Yes. He stole them, and it was a big catastrophe. Hundreds and thousands, 900,000 calves Krishna has. His father has given him charge of 900,000 calves. And for each 10 calves, there's one boy, one cowherd boy.
So you can do the math and figure out how many coward boys, how many friends Krishna has. And he shows up one day and they're gone. He goes off to look for the calves and comes back and the coward boys are gone too. Big tragedy, big catastrophe. How am I going to go home without my friends and my calves? But what does he do? He manifests himself in every single calf and every single coward boy. And why did he do this? Do we know the internal reason for this pastime, for this manifestation? Because all of the moms, the cows, the calves' moms, the mother cows, and the gopis, the elder gopis, they would watch every day. Krishna is walking to the forest with all of his friends, and his friends get to be with him for at least 11 to 12 hours during the day. And then they come home and they see, Krishna sees his family members, his mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and they get to be with him at nighttime in the evening, 11, 12 hours a day. But the mothers of the cowherd boys and the mothers of the calves, the cows, they only get a glimpse of him. They don't get to spend time with him. They don't get to dress him. They don't get to bathe him. They don't get to worship him. They don't get to kiss his cheeks and love him. And they just see him passing by. And so they had that desire, that accumulated, that community desire, that we want to be with Krishna for longer. We wish to spend time with our dearmost Krishna. And so Krishna created this, what seemed to be a catastrophe. What seemed to be a tragedy, he created it to fulfill the devotee's desire. That I want that my devotees also get to be with me. So for one full year, all of the cows had Krishna as their calves because Krishna had manifested in that nobody knew. And suddenly, the cowherd men are noticing with Balaram that, wait a minute, the cows are showing more affection to their calves this year than usual. They're treating their calves as if their calves were Krishna, because everyone loved Krishna the most. And even the cowherd men are doing that. Balaram was noticing. The cowherd men are running with full exuberance to pick up their baby, their children, and hug them and kiss them. And that's not normal behavior for a man to do as they're plowing the fields. And this is not normal. What's going on? Something is going on this year. And then, of course, Brahma came and Brahma apologized and begged for forgiveness. And Krishna and Balaram had a nice little conversation there about what magic happened in the land where Krishna had come as innumerable forms to fix a tragedy. Why? Because his devotee wanted to serve him and had that desire to be closer to him. So all of our lifetime goals, they're all in relation to God, to Krishna, to being in touch with Krishna. In order to get there, we need to have our firm, firm roots in the ground. Make your lifetime goals. Write 3 goals today. Be completely fixed in those goals. Make sure that your short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals are in alignment with your lifetime goals. And then know that everything, start the process of hearing and chanting, which will make those roots really firm. And don't worry about the fruits and flowers and how tall your plant's going to get and how much you're going to be able to achieve. That's all in Krishna's hands. And then when you see those challenges that come in your way, which it will come to everybody, our family is being hit with a pretty big challenge right now. And when those challenges come in your way, it won't shake you. You know this is Krishna making arrangements so that we can achieve our lifetime goals. So thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Mr. Bhagavan Prabhu?
We say how Krishna is God.
Yes.
God, there can only be one God. God, yes, is the Supreme Person and everybody else is not God.
Yes.
Then we hear about all these different incarnations of Krishna, expansions of Krishna, Shaktivesh avatars that are Jivatattva, but they're Krishna too.
Yes.
And so I wonder how it just gets a little confusing how there's only one God, but then that one God has innumerable expansions. I mean, it's sort of like we used to see a show called To Tell the Truth, you know. And they would have three people that would claim to be somebody, and then at the end of the show they say, well, the real Ron Gleaves, please stand up, you know. And then the one person that was, they were referring, you know, they were all acting as, would be the right one person. So
yes.
How did, what's the one real God out of all the ocean of
Expansions and manifestations? So that's why the verse is Ishvara Parama Krishna. There are many Ishvaras. Krishna is the origin. And which Krishna is that? Shyamasundar Krishna, with a peacock feather and a flute. His two hands are holding the flute. And this same question Lord Brahma had, and that's exactly why he stole the cows and the calves. Which, how is it first that this little boy could be God? He had that doubt. And if you study the Vedic scriptures of Srimad Bhagavatam, you read that Krishna first manifests himself into Radharani and Sri Balaram. Samvit, and there's the Chit potency, the Samvit potency, and the Ladini potency. I might be getting one of those wrong. The Chit one, I don't remember the original word for it. Ladini, Samvit, and Sandini, okay. And so those three are Krishna, who is the origin, and then Balaram and Srimati Radharani. And then from Srimati Radharani come all of the energies, all of the spiritual energies and all of the material energies. And from Sri Balaram come all of the other manifestations. And from him also come all of the jivas. And some of those jivas are Satyavesh avatars. And Shuddha Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says that Krishna comes in, for example, all of the forms of Krishna that are animal forms, in order to target a specific audience at a specific time, a specific group of species even at a specific time. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains the evolution of how Krishna comes through each species. So for the fish, he's delivering all of the aquatic creatures. And like that, there's a long explanation. And so that's why there are all those manifestations. But then the Sri Brahma Samhita explains, Yakara Narnavajale. No. Dipar Eva Hi the Santaram Abhyupetya. There's one original candle. And that original candle lights many, many, many other candles. But that one original candle still stays the origin. And that origin is Shamsundar Krishna. And that's what is, did that answer your question? Okay. We can, as we're chanting our japa, and depending on our relationship with our spiritual master, and as you become a little bit more in tune with your japa, you start your worshipable deity, and who your worshipable form of Krishna is, whether it be Ramachandra or Gauranga Mahaprabhu or Varahadev, that starts becoming clear as you become deeper and deeper and more focused into your meditation, because we already have our constitutional position as a servant of Krishna. And as a matter of fact, every single incarnation of Krishna, Varaha and Vamana and all of them, they are present inside of who? Do you know? Krishna, but they are also present inside of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered even a more top level than Sri Krishna, because he is the combination of the devotee and God. And avatari, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like Krishna, the origin. That's why if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he turns into the different Varaha and he turns into the different manifestations of Krishna. And so actually if you worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're worshiping everyone else. Automatically, you're worshiping every other person, every other manifestation of Krishna. And we're really lucky because we just had Gaur Purnim pass by and we're only 500 years away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance on this particular planet. So we're very fortunate that we can tie it to the direct cause of everyone. So, any other questions? Comments? All right. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.